This is Scott Becker with the Becker Women's Leadership Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Robin Billups. Robin is the connector, and she's with the Billups Group and just magnificent. Robin, can you take a moment to introduce yourself, and we'll talk about entrepreneurship. We'll talk about some of the other things that you lead in and just your greatness. And thank you for joining us. Can you introduce yourself?
Thank you so much, Scott and Grace. I really appreciate the opportunity to engage with you. I'm Robin Billups. I spent 30 years in the corporate world in the nonprofit sector. I'm an active learner. I created a consulting practice about almost 3 years ago now, ensuring the idea that the information that I gain and the insight that I gain can be shared with others, especially in the entrepreneurial world where, you know, there's a lot of technical things that go on, but I like person-to-person talk. I like solid speaking about, you know, where we're going, where we're headed, and what we're going to do. I like to share. I'm looking to grow. I'm an engager, and I'm called the connector because I've been behind the curtain with a lot of different companies. And so I look forward to sharing some of my knowledge and gaining some knowledge from this opportunity.
Well, fantastic. And take a moment and talk to us about what advice you would have for entrepreneurs and leaders. If you had to give entrepreneurs three or four pieces of advice, what would you tell them?
I think from an entrepreneurial standpoint, in my experience, I spent almost 25 years doing commercial real estate construction financing and had an opportunity to create a supplier diversity program for a Fortune 500 banking industry company. And from that, had an opportunity to engage with all kinds of entrepreneurs. And so what I see from that experience, do your homework, you know, doing that due diligence and learning as much as you can about the company, the opportunity, the sector that you, the commodity that you offer, the sector that you fall within, so that you could, they can have a better understanding of how do they prospect? Why do you have who's on your prospect list? Who are your existing clients? Can you deepen those relationships? So what I always tell my clients is do your due diligence, gain as much insight and guidance as you can. Look at the professional organizations that are associated with the industry that you're in. Identify your subject matter experts. Always be solution driven and always be concerned about the bottom line. Because from a leadership standpoint, the leaders, especially when you're looking at procurement, which falls within what I call the risk mitigation silo of any company, you know, they're bottom line people. At the end of the day, you know, social enterprise, corporate engagement, those things are important. But at the end of the day, it's the bottom line. You know, how much money can we save? How efficient can we be? And how innovative are we with the suppliers that we're working with? And then the final thing that I would say to the leaders, you know, you hear a lot about workshops that are focused on how to do business with XYZ corporation, but there's not a lot of workshops that talk about how to do business with small business. And so what I tell clients is these corporations aren't going to change, but they will make amendments. You know, an amendment can lead to a change. And so people, I look for corporations, especially folks in the leadership role, to really think about what a small business has to go through in order to be their client, you know, even in order to be able to bid on a RFP or RFI or RFQ. They spend a lot of money. And then again, these relationships take years. You know, I tell entrepreneurs, don't be contract focused, be relationship driven. Because if you build that relationship, if nothing else, you're going to gain the insight and guidance for your next opportunity that comes up.
And this concept of being long-term relationship focused is so important in business because a lot of things work out well if you develop great relationships and you're competent. You got to be both, but so important. Talk a little bit about one of the favorite things I've heard you say is that since you were a very young person, you knew who you were. You mm-hmm. knew what made you tick. Talk mm-hmm. about that for a moment because I think that is so important.
Well, you know, the thing is that we are always looking for someone else to gauge us and give us an opinion about who we are and what we should do. You know, and for me, my mom did a really, really good job on her children, ignoring the fact that we were exposed to any and everything that would help us to grow as individuals. And secondarily, I'm just curious. You know, I used to say I'm nosy. And one of my friends says, Robin, that doesn't even sound professional. I said, well, that's what it is. I'm just being nosy. I love information. I love gaining information. And so early on, I was, I'm an African-American female and I'm 65 years old. So I was in those circumstances where I was the only one. I was the only one. And it didn't bother me. Because my mother said, you're going there to gain some information. You're going there to get exposure. And so the other part for me, on a personal note, you have to maintain a spiritual life because that's what keeps you grounded. You have to find that thing that puts the fire in your belly, and you have to find that thing that helps you on your worst days. You can say, okay, tomorrow's coming, and that's a new day. And I always tell people, every night, every day you play the hand that you're a dealt, and every night the cards are shuffled. So tomorrow, what you thought was an emergency probably is your third tier emergency now, because new emergencies show up or new opportunities show up. So again, I think it's critically important. You know, again, I'll share this with you. When I heard the book Lean In came out and, you know, everybody was all excited about it, I'm like, look, as an African-American female, I've been leaning in all my life. You know, that's not a new concept to me. You got to put your neck out there in order for you to get what you're trying to get. And so that drive, all of us have it. You know, I've done some workshops with the Asian community, and I told them, I said, okay, you're not going to be me. I'm outgoing. I'm a middle kid. I'm always going to get my way because that's Robin. But at the end of the day, if you're a quiet person, you have to be a quiet, assertive person, because we're all jockeying for something. So if you don't speak up, speak out, raise your hand, ask questions, gain clarity, understand the vocabulary, which are barriers to non-success when people speak their acronyms. If you're not doing that for yourself, then remember, as you were a kid growing up, what do I need to leave behind for the folks coming up behind me? The things that I didn't do that I wish I had done when I was 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years old. You know, so again, I think, and the one last thing I'll say is, you have to surround yourself with like-minded individuals. Who you bring close to the breast is who and what you're going to be. So I've always had a wonderful cadre of folks that I have accumulated. And when I meet new people, I'll tell them, I've decided that you're part of my tribe. Now you tell me if you don't want to be, but I've already decided I need you in my tribe. You know, and they'll chuckle. And I mean it from the bottom of my toes. That yes, I need you in my life because there's value that you bring to me. I see things in you that I may need to work on or I don't have. And I think that human kindness, human compassion is what has always been afforded me and what I always try to give to others.
Well, and that connectivity is so important. Mm-hmm. Talk about, you speak about, look, I know who I am. I am this. I'm an outgoing, personal, African-American woman. I'm a leader. I know who I am. I'm a connector. Talk for a moment. You've also spent a lot of time in your career working on causes and leadership related to African-American organizations and boards. Talk a little bit about that and how that became a priority for it and what you do there.
Well, you know, it's this thing of we are all, until we take our last breath, I think that we should be lifelong learners. You know, we keep hearing that word, but what does that mean? That means gaining things and involving yourself and connecting yourself and putting yourself in situations where you may not necessarily think, you know, I remember as a kid growing up, I would tell my mother, I don't want to go to an Up With People concert. I'm probably going to be the only Black person there. She goes, did I ask you? Somebody ask you that. You need to go and see what it's about, you know. And so to your point, I have always been in my community, especially connected to events and organizations and things that are progressive. And then some things I've looked at and said, you know, this isn't for me, because I'm a truth seeker. And, you know, I'm one of those folks that I'm going to raise my hand and ask the questions that everybody in the room wants to ask, but they're afraid to let somebody know that they don't know. Well, I'm that chick that's going to raise my hand. Excuse me, I have a question. You know, I use my Miss Corporate America voice so that they think that I'm not trying to attack them. But I'm going to ask 20 questions. I am that person. And so with that, I've been very, very involved with Neighborhood Housing Services, which is a national organization that helps first-time homebuyers. I sat on their board in 1980. my son just got his house financed. My 35-year-old just got his house financed by them 2 years ago. I'm very, very active. I completed the African-American Board Leadership Training. That organization was created because the founders were approached by a number of corporations saying, we need to find African-Americans to add to our board. Well, my friend Virgil Roberts said, you know, let me do some training so that when we send these people out, they're already prepared to actually serve on these boards. They can evaluate the board and see if it's a good fit for them and for the organization. In 1997, I went through, USC has a program that was called Minority Program of Real Estate Development. And that came about in 1992 after the uprising. And basically the premise of the program is to teach people the entire development process. You know, what is the highest and best use for this site? And in doing that, the program was created so that folks could go back to South Central in these areas that were affected by the uprising and go back in those communities and redevelop their own community. You know, I was, you know, one of the other organizations I belonged to a long time ago, CREW, Commercial Real Estate Women in Los Angeles. Again, a very, very Anglo-focused organization, angle of leadership, you name it. And I said, you know, not only am I going to join, I'm going to get on the board and I'm going to be active and engaged and bring a diverse voice to the environment. So I think that these organizations, while some of them have been African-American focused, literally, when I say I'm engaged, I'm across the board. Asian Business Association, I'm their number one volunteer for the Los Angeles chapter. I've done workshops for the Orange County chapter. Native American, Tracy Stanhoff, a wonderful individual. I'm very, very engaged with the National Association of African American and Minority Law Firms. You know, those kinds of organizations, back to, as I said earlier, plugging into these professional organizations gives you an opportunity to see behind the curtain what goes on and how these the structures and the missions of these organizations are put together.
And help me for a moment on your leadership involvement in these. What's the mix of business development versus true labor of love? Or is it really a mix of both for everything?
For me, that's Robin. You know, I attended the University of Missouri, and I wanted to be in public relations. I kind of didn't know what that was. I'm the first person in my family to go to college, but it sounded right, public relations. Well, when I get there, they only had one PR class. I majored in advertising. I have a journalism degree. And so with that, I always say, you're just cobbling together marketable skills. Stop chasing the money. Chase the skill set. And I think that that's what people tend to do. They will chase the money. They're upset. You know, they don't realize that you're put in a place for a reason and a season and a purpose. Make sure you hit all three of those points before you leave there. And sometimes you kind of, I won't say you leave, you might get put out. But before you get put out, make sure you got something out of the situation. Does that make sense?
100%. And so you gain, but you also, it's also labor love, like dealing with
No question. I love life, Scott. You know, when the plane crashed in San Diego in 1978, I had reservations on that plane. Every Friday, I was in a master training program. I would go on Monday, come home on Friday. Well, that particular Friday morning, that particular Monday morning, I drove to San Diego. And when I came back, I had my first loan sign up. I became a loan officer, and I had my first loan sign up in Playa del Rey. And I will never forget this because the husband was an engineer and the wife was a teacher, and I'm doing a fantastic job talking to them about their documents and their loan. I like to make sure people understand their options, what they're signing, doing a fantastic job. And the other side of my brain is saying, she's not listening. She's going to be calling me Monday asking me the same questions. Well, the wife was writing me a note, and she affirmed for me what I knew, that the Lord puts us here for a reason and a season and a purpose. And she said, your mission is to impart information. And I received that. That was the beginning of my banking career. So I'll say my professional career. I've worked since I was 14 years old, but that really was the beginning of my professional career, per se.
Well, fascinating. And talk for a moment about the Billups Group. How do people learn more about you and what you do? How do they hire you? How do they work with you? How do they get guidance from you? How do people work with you closer?
Well, you know, I people tease me because they're like, Robin, you know, how are you going to be a consultant and you're just giving information away? You know, and I'll tell them in a minute, don't tell the Lord how to bless me. Step over there. This is my thing. So what ended up happening, I had planned on retiring out of banking, and that didn't work. And then I went to go work for WeBank, the organization that certifies women-owned businesses, helping to develop a business development program. And that's where the connector piece came from, because my job was to recruit, retain, and engage corporations. And so I've seen behind the curtain with a lot of different industries. And so the Billups Group came about because I went to the second to the last Laker game, diehard fan, went to the second to the last Laker game with a woman-owned business who was getting an award from Core America. And so we're in the suite, triple suite, fantastic environment. I'm a diehard Laker fan. And a couple came up to me, Melrose Mac, they're Melrose Inc. now. They said to me, well, Robin, you know, we understand that you've been laid off, and we'd like for you to come and do some business development for us. And I said, well, I've never consulted before, but I'm more than willing to learn how to do that. But also, too, I'm more than willing to learn how to make connections for you, to put you in front of the right people and prepare you for that process. Again, this is a $65 million company, so they had skills. You know, they truly had skills. It was a woman-owned business, and she never really looked at, she got certified by WeBank, but how do you use that certification to also help you build relationships, do business development, and give back? So that's how I ended up creating, and my kids were like, well, Mom, you can't, you're not going to be the person who's not going to work, so what are you going to do? I said, so I'm going to create a consulting company, and they said, well, make sure as you start to set this thing up, that you look at it from the standpoint that all of us have skills that we can bring to the table, and all of us have what we call next generation skills. My husband was an EE major, and he hit the glass ceiling and decided to teach elementary school. He taught fifth grade until 2 years ago when he retired. He loves education. My oldest son works for Clark Construction. He basically is the supplier diversity outreach coordinator for Clark, major development company. My youngest son is in the energy efficiency sector, working for a minority-owned business. One of my daughter-in-laws is an attorney in the diversity inclusion sector with the city of LA. And then my youngest daughter-in-law is a buyer for a major corporation for their Australian company. And so they've decided that don't just set it up for yourself, set it up. And that's why it says multi-generational company. And so we're still working towards bringing their services to the table. And so what I do is I coach, I really like to assess, I like to coach, I like to train. And I work with corporations who are looking to set up a supplier diversity program, meet their compliance requirements around diverse companies. And I work with companies, individuals, suppliers, or entrepreneurs on, are you using all of your tools? As an example, I have a client in Chicago who was a four-generation moving company. I said, no, you're not in the moving business anymore. It's called logistics. So what I try to do is make sure that they're on trend with their language, on trend with how they're explaining their historical experience, and how to bring all of that stuff forward for what I call next generation market. And then the final thing for me, we're in a global economy. We're in a global world. We're in a global marketplace now. We have to think globally. And so a lot of times people get so narrowly focused with their heads down on the one thing that they do, not understanding that you're missing opportunity that may be out there. And secondarily, who you think is your competition could actually be your partner.
Oh, fantastic, Robin. It's amazing what you do. Where do people find you? They find you on LinkedIn? They find your website?
LinkedIn is the perfect place to find me. We're working on a website now because my oldest son, when he was 24, created a nonprofit. And we are building what's called the Billups Foundation. We will have a for-profit side and a nonprofit side. And so we're working on a website now. But yeah, LinkedIn is the best place to catch me. And when you read it, I've read it myself, and I'm like, okay, Robin, you need to go on there and clean that up a little bit, because I did that when I first got started. And that has morphed into what's there, but I think I need to make it a little bit more simpler. But yeah, LinkedIn is a perfect place to find me. And what's been fun for me, Scott, and again, thank you for this opportunity to interact with you guys. But I've been doing a lot of podcasts and a lot of interviews and a lot of feedback. I think that, you know, as I said before, this 30 plus years of accumulated marketable skills, I'm a plain talking individual, and I think that that's what's intriguing to people. You know, I tell them from the start, make sure you understand the glossary or the language of that industry, because people in a certain sector will always talk acronyms. And I see acronyms as a barrier to non-success. If you're a technical person and you're speaking technical talk to somebody that you're trying to sell something to, you got to get them up to speed to understand the technical language that you're using. And so those are some of the things that I do with my clients.
Well, fantastic. What a great pleasure to visit with you this afternoon. Your enthusiasm and your everything about you is just infectious. And it's Robin, it is a great pleasure to speak to you, and what a great life's mission, and what you've done is remarkable. So thank you so much for joining us today on the Beck Group Women's Leadership Podcast. You're terrific.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and let's all collectively, we can all fix all of these challenges that we're having if we collectively work together. So thank you again for the opportunity.
We sure can. What a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you very much.
Okay, take care now. Bye-bye.